Good morning, Epic Life Church. Wow, thank you for all four of you that came here this morning. Good morning, Epic Life. Praise God. Let me tell you something, man. I believe this. One of the things we believe at Epic Life Church is that before I ever come up to the platform, I'm believing that God is already speaking to you, that God is already having a message, a word directly for you. I don't even have to preach this morning, and I believe God is already speaking to some of you. Man, God is amazing. Amen. I said, God is amazing. Man, he can do things that we never thought possible. He can take us in directions that we never thought we were able to go. God is amazing. And I believe this morning, in my brief time that I have, that God is speaking and going to say a huge word. See, last week we talked about the fruits of the Spirit. Y'all seen, remember that video? Anybody remember the song of that video that we watched last week? Praise God. If you're a first or second time guest this morning, we've been talking about living a life that is spirit filled. See, it's easy to try to live a Christian life in our flesh, but really what that ends up being is just religion. It ends up being something that we're good at. You know, I'm good at going to church. I'm good at memorizing scripture. I'm good at doing all of these work type issues, right? And what we're trying to communicate at Epic Life and in our family is that, man, God has something so much bigger if we would just understand that God, first of all, is not weird. He's not kind of like this omni-killjoy or that just wants to come in and make us live a set of rules. But rather, God wants to have relationship with us, and the way that relationship is developed in our hearts and in our life is through the Holy Spirit. We were created in God's image, after his likeness, we were created. And the reason we were created was so that we could house, check this out, so cool, that he would house his spirit in us. Now, that might not be a big deal for some of you. Some of y'all are kind of just looking at me like, oh, this foreign cross-eyed look, right? But think about it. The God that created the universe, the God that knows your every thought, the God that formed you in your mother's womb before you were ever a thought or a twinkle in your daddy's eye, right? Created you to be housed by him. That's heavy. That's really heavy. If you think about it, God wants to indwell us so that, not so that we can be some hocus pocus weird kind of Christian, but so that the world and the people around us, our family, our friends, the coworkers, can see what a real loving father looks like through working in our life. So last week we talked about what that looks like in the area of fruit, that if I plant a certain type of seed, if I plant a banana tree, I should get bananas, right? I mean, right? So if I plant an apple tree, I should get apples. If I go out there and I see a pecan tree and I want to go get some pecans, I should find pecans underneath that tree, right? Texas, right? Praise God. We all want some pecan, pecan pie, all that good stuff, right? So we got that. But I shouldn't go out to a pecan tree and find lemons. And we discovered last week that the Bible says, Jesus said this, he said that salt water and fresh water should not and cannot flow out of the same stream. It's impossible. And that as believers, Christians, people who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, out of our life should produce fruit. And this isn't fruit that we can produce on our own, a work that we can produce. We can't conjure this up. We talked about it. We talked about love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, goodness, long-suffering, self-control, right? We talked about those. And those should be the evidences of our life. It's not something you can produce. You can't produce the kind of love that God wants to love through you. Everybody has that guy at work. Everybody has that girl at work. Everybody has that person in our family that when they walk in the door, it's hard to love them, right? You might be that person. I'm throwing that out there, man. You might be that person. And when you walk into the family reunion, you know, have you ever noticed at the family reunion when you're standing around, you walk in the door, everybody kind of goes outside and they're, oh, I didn't know you were here. Oh, I'm sorry. Right? There's an agape love that God wants to produce in you that enables you to love those people, to love that coworker, to love that family member. For some of you, you've been hurt in your life. It hurt bad. And so in your own natural self, it's really hard to kind of, you know, connect with that person, to be gentle with that person, right? But through the Holy Spirit, you're able to do that. That's what we're talking about, these fruits of the Spirit. Well, this morning, as I get ready to wrap this message up, I'm going to bring, can I bring this down there? I feel like I'm so far away from you guys. I want to grow and be closer to you. Can I do that? Okay, I'm going to trip. There we go. That's a great message to preach, right? All right. So if you have your Bibles, how many have your Bibles? Praise God, man. We're getting more and more and more. All right. So let's open up our Bibles or your iPad, your iPhone, smartphone. If you have none of that, don't fear. We're going to put it on the board for you real quick. So we're going to go through this kind of quickly this morning. Because this morning what we're going to do is we're going to talk about not necessarily a fruit of the Spirit, but now we're going to talk about the gift of the Spirit. Now watch this. Every person in this room, say me. No. Say me. Now I know some of you guys, when it's time to, if I had $1,000 up here and said, does anybody want this $1,000? You'd be like, me. Now say me. Thank you very much. Every person in here, you have a gift. Say, I have a gift. All right. Now, let me ask you a question. Let me ask it this way. Matter of fact, let me do it like this. I bet I got some money in my pocket somewhere. Anybody want any money? Wow. That's what I'm talking about, brother, right back there, man. No, behind you. Look at him. Praise God. He's going to get something this morning. All right. So, hang on, man. Put your hand down. I won't forget you, I promise. Okay, now watch. Now, if I had a dollar bill, and I have a dollar bill right here, okay? Now, if I had this dollar bill and I said, I'm going to give this dollar, now be real, okay? Don't be like, you know, don't try to figure out my message, okay? Stop that. So I got a dollar bill here and I want to give it away. Not really exciting, is it? You're like, man, I got more money in my wallet than that, man. Praise God. All right? My husband owes me more money than that. Not really exciting, right? Okay, right? It's a dollar. I mean, what, stick of gum, maybe? Can we buy a stick of gum with a dollar now? I don't know. She's like, no. No. Huh? Maybe a stick? All right, so a dollar's not that exciting. But what if I said, I'm going to give away a car today? What would happen? Woo! That's what I'm talking about, right? What if I said I was going to give $1,000 away? Place would go crazy, right? What if I told you that God has given you a gift that some of you treat it as if it's just that little dollar bill right there. Now, not all of us. Some of us have treated it and are treating it as, don't you touch my dollar. It's just a dollar, okay? I mean, if you want it, okay, praise God. But some of you are treating it like way more than that. And what I want us to understand this morning, come here, praise God. See, he's excited about it. He don't care, praise God. If I had 50 cents, he'd be happy. Here, take that. All right, cool. Man, geez. My goodness. Put that boy on allowance or something, man. All right. So the whole idea is we think this gift that God has for us, we treat it very cheaply. But God has given you a gift that he has given for some in our church. It's just for you. Now, we have to understand as we begin to talk about a gift, we're not talking about your ability to do something. All right, maybe, because there's two types of gifts in a person's life. Okay, I know both of mine. You have a personality profile or personality gift. That personality gift is basically, comes about or is designed basically by the way you were raised by your family, kind of environment, some of the good, some of the bad, all that junk and funk that's happened in your life, good and bad, has created you to be a certain type of person, right? So if you, for instance, had a very outgoing family and you pretty much got anything that you wanted and they never disciplined you, your personality will be a little bit different than, say, a person who grew up in the sticks, had to work for everything they had alongside their parents, were taught and disciplined very strict. Your personality and the way you live your life and who you are as a person is going to look different than the other person. Does that make sense? Right? That's a personality profile. Okay? Now, God will work inside that person through something else, which is our spiritual gift. All right? So if you have your Bibles, two passages, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, open up to there, hold that, flip open to Romans chapter 12. So 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans chapter 12. And we're going to start in the 1 Corinthians passage. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and then Romans chapter 12. And we'll get there here in a little bit throughout the message. All right? All right. So if you have it, say amen. If you can't find it, say oh my. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In the beginning of your Bible, there's a concordance. Just open that up and look for 1 Corinthians. Find the page number and go to the page. Okay? It's just before 2 Corinthians. Imagine that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right? Maybe I'll open my Bible to it too. So you can see that I know where it's at. All right, this is good. Praise God. You got it? You got your highlighter, got a pen, got a paper, got all that stuff. All right? For some of you, this is old. For some of you, this is going to be new. I think for the most of us, yes, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I bind every distraction, every disturbance in Jesus' mighty name. I command every thought to be brought under the captivity of Christ. So God, Father God, help us to focus and to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Okay? Now, concerning spiritual gifts, is there any doubt what we're fixing to talk about? Come on now. Man, did I lose you already? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, is there any doubt what we're going to talk about? No. Praise God, y'all are on board. All right, so concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Ignorant is not a bad word. If I call you ignorant, it just means you ain't got no knowledge. Don't worry about that. Don't be thinking like, God, call me ignorant. All right, some of y'all are ignorant. Okay, but it's okay. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you are Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Verse 3, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want to stop real quick and tell you what he's doing. Why is he starting out like that? He's kind of giving a basis. He's saying, look, this is how we know that you're a believer, okay? You can't call Jesus accursed, which basically means, look, you're not going to say Jesus is Lord unless the Spirit of God is in you and enables you to do that. Unsaved people, people who are possessed by the devil or whatever you want to say, will not say that. I can't tell you in ministry how many people I've talked to, it's funny, who have said, you need to come, true story, you need to come and pray for my child. I think they're possessed by the devil. How many of y'all would probably call me up and say that probably once or twice a week, right? All right? Some of y'all probably think they are. They're not, okay? How do I know? Because you can walk over there to them. Most of the time you can walk up to them and ask them, is Jesus Lord? If they say yes, or if they can confess Jesus Christ as Lord, this is what Paul's saying, they're not possessed by the devil. Because there ain't no demon in hell going to say that, okay? All right, so there's a good comfort for you that you can check with your child later. Is Jesus Lord, Johnny? Get the holy water ready. Here we go. Okay. Praise God. All right. Now, so that's what he's doing. He's just setting a foundation for us. Okay. He's letting us know, look, I'm going to talk to believers for a little bit. Now, watch here. Verse 4. There are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. Diversity just means what? Different. They're just different gifts. Not everybody's going to look the same. Not everybody's going to have the same gift. I don't expect everybody to have a word of knowledge. I don't expect everybody to be able to come up here and speak God's word in a way that people grow and learn from it. Why? There are different gifts. Not everybody's going to be gifted like Pastor Mike. Not everybody's going to be gifted like Corey. Okay? You don't want me to lead worship. I promise you. All right? It won't sound that good. That's why Corey puts me on the lights back there. And there are diversities of activities. It's the same, or ministries. He's saying, look, your ministry and my ministry might have the same spiritual gift, but they're going to look different. They're going to be diverse. You might reach a different culture of people with the same spiritual gift that I have than I'm going to reach over here. That's what he's saying. There's diversities in ministry. Verse 7. Now watch, this is cool. But the manifestation of the manifestation of the Spirit is given, watch this, each one for who? For the profit of all. For the profit of all. Now, if you don't have that underlined in your Bible, can I tell you something? Underline it in your Bible. Why is that important? Because when you aren't operating in the power of the Spirit or the gift that God has given to you, I'm going to step on a toe, you're robbing the church. You're robbing your brother, you're robbing your sister, you're robbing your community, you're robbing the people that are around you that God has put in your life. Every one of us are gifted. Every one of us have a gift, a spiritual gift that God has given to all of us. It might not look like mine, it might not look like BJ's, it might not look like Bob's, but we all have one for the profit, not of myself, but for all of us, that we all get to benefit from it. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to the other the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, watch this, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the discerning of spirits, to another, the interpretation of tongues. Now listen to me. These are, if you watched my message or heard my message last week, how many fruits of the Spirit were there? Say that again. Everybody, nine. There are nine fruits of the Spirit. How many gifts of the Spirit are there? Everybody say nine if you didn't know the answer. Nine. Interesting. Almost like God kind of knows what he's doing. All right? Now, what are these? Word of wisdom. I love it that he puts that gift first. The word of wisdom. How many of you feel like at times you just need some wisdom? Bible says you got it. It's a spiritual gift. Now, there are people that are a lot smarter than the rest of us, okay? And they're able to, you can sit down with them and talk to them about stuff, and it just seems it naturally flows for them, this wisdom, this gifting that they're able to, you know, you have this problem and they give you a solution and an answer and you go, where'd you get that from? I don't know, it just came to me. That's a gift of wisdom. And some of you in this place have that. And you don't have to have gray in your beard or no hair or whatever. Some of you have that gift of wisdom, but you don't share it. I love the next one. What's the next one? Knowledge. Knowledge is a gift. The ability to hash out God's plan and do that stuff. Then the next one is faith. Some people, man, you get around and it's just like, man, they're contagious. It doesn't matter what's going on in their life, what their situation or their circumstance looks like. They have faith that can move mountains and you barely got a faith to move a molehill, man. And you're going, man, how do you have that? Spiritual gifting. We all have a measure of faith, amen? But there are some people that have this full measure of faith that they're able to operate in and nothing takes them down. So if you want someone to pray for you when things are rough, you need to find a person that has that gift of faith. Because they understand Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for with the evidence of things not yet seen. They can't see it being produced, but they believe it's going to happen. That's the kind of people you want to put yourself around. Those are people that will pray for you and prayers that are answered. All right, gifts of healing. Yes, church, the gift of healing still exists. Say amen. It didn't go away. All right, somewhere down the road, a lie got given to the church that we're not supposed to heal anymore. Well, the Jesus that I know told his disciples that go do this and part of the fruits of you doing this is going to be healing. The dark ages moved in, and when the dark ages begin to move out, for some reason, we started getting lost in this, and the church stopped believing in this. And so now today, it's like, well, that's weird. No, it's not weird. That's God. And there are some people that truly have the gift of healing. Amen. Now, we can all pray for healing. We can all lay hands on the sick. The Bible says as a disciple of Jesus, we can lay hands on the sick, and what shall they do? They will recover. Not might, but they will. Now, but there's gift. There's people who are gifted with this. That just no matter what they do, when they pray for people, they're healed. Now, I don't know if it's throwing a jacket on someone or doing any of that crazy stuff and touch the TV screen. And you know, I don't know any of that, okay? I don't concern myself with that. But it still exists. The working of miracles still exists. It's a gift. Prophecies, we just spoke about that for a moment again. Prophecy isn't something weird like, I'm going to predict that the world's going to end tomorrow. That is not needed in today's church anymore because we have a thing called the Holy Spirit. Now, back then in the Old Testament days, when the prophets existed in order to communicate God's word and will towards mankind. Do we have to have that today? No. Why? Somebody say it out loud. Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit now leads, guides, and directs our life. Okay? So the prophecy that they're speaking of here and the gift of prophecy is for those three things, right? Exhortation, encouragement, and what? Edification. That's the prophecy. Matter of fact, Paul says, and you can look this up on your own in 1 Corinthians, you can read it on your own. He says, forsake not prophecies in the church. Why? Because prophecy is for everybody. It builds everybody up. Prophecy's not doom and gloom and, you know, oh, you know, the God told me that tomorrow the sun's going to stand still and all hell's going to break loose. That's not prophecy. That's weird. Okay? Because we don't need that anymore. We got this thing called the Bible that tells us in the instructions of what we need to be looking for. Church, listen to me this morning. I don't know what time we got. Okay, cool. We don't need to check our brain in at the door when we come into church. God has given us his word. Let's trust his word and trust his Holy Spirit to live the life that we're created to live. You are gifted to do something, to be something. Discerning of spirits. I have this gift. And I'm going to bet that some of you in here have this too because I'm going to show you. How many? No, don't show a hand. Okay. Don't show me by your hands. How many times have you walked into a room, met a person, and as soon as you met them, you knew something wasn't right? Something was off. Something just didn't make sense. Or you walk into a room, and it just kind of like, I don't know what it is. Now, sometimes we call it mama's intuition, right? Women's intuition, got the eyes in the back of their head, they know everything that you're doing. Some of it is discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits, you can recognize this in a person, and it kind of, all the alarms go off. And sometimes it's good. I mean, discerning of spirits isn't just on a negative side of going, man, that dude's got some issues. Sometimes it's like there's a gift and you can sense that spirit moving in, you can sense the Holy Spirit moving in someone's life. And you're kind of drawn to that person, all right? We kind of take it in the negative sense, kind of this mystic type deal, and there is some demonic presence and there is kind of this spiritual aspect of it when it comes to discerning of spirits, but many of you have probably operated inside that gift and didn't even realize you were operating in it. And you walk into a room and you just sense something's wrong. All your radar, your hair standing up, everything going off on you. It's a discerning of spirits. See, it still works because I know some of you are just looking at your faces. You're going, I've been there. I've been there. There's people that I've met. I'd shake their hand and instantly it's like, whoa, I got to go. I got to go. There's times where I've walked into an environment. Let me tell you something, church. I don't want to freak us out and get all weird and kind of go in this direction, but I want to take a rabbit trail. Amazing that we're going to do this. But you are a child of the Most High God. The Bible, how many believe in angels? Raise your hand. Be honest. Come on. How many of y'all believe in it? All right, let's make it easier. How many of y'all do not believe in angels? Good. We're on the same page. Okay. Why is it so difficult for Christians to understand that if there's an angelic, godlike power, why wouldn't there be demonic angel type demonic power moving in the earth? Why is that so difficult for us? We got to like hocus pocus or whatever. No. And the crazy thing about it is the authority that you have as a believer to operate under the spiritual gifts and be understand some of this stuff is not hocus pocus weird junk. It's spiritual. We are spiritual beings. We house the Spirit of God inside us. And these gifts have been given to you to edify the body of Christ. So it doesn't have to be weird or hocus pocus or some weird thing that goes on. You go, oh, yeah, you won't believe they were handling snakes. We don't do that here. Praise Jesus. Okay. I don't like snakes. We shoot them, don't we, BJ? Yes, we do. Praise God. Okay. And I've killed a lot of good snakes. If there is such a one, really? Yeah. Somebody said, yep, I know there are. I know. We can talk about that later. Okay. Right. All right. So we got, and they die too. Discerning of spirits. All right. Number 8. Diverse or different kinds of tongues. Now, I mean, we can sit a long time and talk about the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues and the diverse tongues. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that because Jesus even said, don't major on the minors, and that is a minor. All right. We believe as Epic Life Church, Full Gospel Church, we believe in the gift of tongues. Okay, we believe it is a prayer language directly from our Heavenly Father. It's our spirit man talking through us to our Heavenly Father. This is what I do believe as a pastor. And if you want to have a Bible study on it someday, just give me a call. Okay, and we'll do that then. I'm not going to do it today. I don't believe the tongues should be done from up here. I don't. See, Sunday mornings is designed for growth and for non-believers and for to edify the body. That's what Sunday mornings is for. Tongues isn't for edifying the body. And I can prove it through scripture and we can go through it all day long and I can show you. Okay? Tongues is for self. It's for my person, my spirit man. It's to build me up. There are times, the Bible even says, when you know not what you should pray, you pray in the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you do that? With groans and moans which cannot be interpreted. That's scripture. That's not Pastor Mike. With groans and moans which cannot be interpreted. Book of Jude says, you, talking to the church, build up yourself, say yourself, in your most holy faith, say holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So tongues is for myself, my spirit man. When I need to pray for Nick, and I don't know how I should pray for Nick, but all of a sudden, this has happened to some of you, that name or someone is laid in your heart, and you go, man, I need to pray for this person, but I don't know how to pray for him. It's when I pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, if, and I say that if in a very large fashion, the Holy Spirit begins to move in our church and someone out of the Holy Spirit, they begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and begin to speak in tongues, what needs to happen? There better be a gift of interpretation. Because if there ain't, Pastor Mike's going to come tap you on the shoulder and say you're out of order. That's biblical. I'm not trying to be rude and think I'm pious and I'm this high spiritual almighty, whatever. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches, it says, do everything within order. And that's when Paul goes, look, I know you can speak in tongues. Matter of fact, Paul brags. He says, I speak in tongues more than everyone. I speak in tongues more than all y'all. He said, but, and he does say y'all, so he's Southern, okay? All right, but check it out. He said, but rather that you speak in tongues in an unknown language that edifies you, I'd rather you speak 1,000 words in a known language that edifies all of us. Okay? So tongues isn't some weird hocus pocus weird thing. Yes, churches have abused it. But it's for you and your Heavenly Father. It's that language, man. There are times, man, where I don't know how to pray and I pray in the Holy Spirit and amazing things begin to happen. Sometimes I'm just praying and I don't know how to pray and I'll begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. And when I do, a name will come up. And I'll start praying for that person. It's just the way it is. I can't tell you how it works. It's the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of the Spirit. Okay? All right. Moving right along. Before we go on and we get ready to kind of, I'm going to go through this kind of quick because we want to wrap it up. Man, this actually should have been a like 5-part series. But in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, I want to show you something. Go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Look at this. Said God also bearing witness to both with signs and wonders, talking about these gifts, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to whose will? His own, that's right. His own. See, I can't conjure up a gift I don't have. I don't care how exciting our church gets or how much the music, we can't conjure up something that we don't have because then we're doing it out of ourselves and not out of God. We want to do things the way God wants to do things, okay? So it's a God gives these gifts to us according to his will. So I can't judge your gift. Why? Why is it not my place to judge your gift? Huh? Somebody just said it. What did you say? I didn't give it. I didn't give you that gift. How in the world am I going to judge that gift that you have? Do we not all serve Daddy? Do we not all serve our Heavenly Father? If He has given you that gift, how am I going to know if it's a gift that's of Dad? Come on, we talk back and forth. It's okay. How do we know that's a gift from God? What did we talk about last week? Huh? There's going to be fruit, right? And the fruit's going to tell me whether or not that's of God or if that's of yourself. It's an amazing, interesting principle that it all works together. So if I'm saying that I'm operating in my gift, but there's no fruit, then I would question and say, wait a minute, where's the fruit? Not fruit cake. Real fruit, seed. All right. To understand this gift and how God works in this gift, I want to show you something. There's a meaning of grace. Now, how many know the definition of grace? How many have heard a definition of grace? God's unmerited what? Say it out loud. Favor. So everybody that doesn't know it, let's hear it again. God's unmerited. Right. So grace is God's unmerited favor, which means I can't earn His grace. I'm not smart enough to try to earn grace. I can't do something to give me more grace. I have God's grace. But what people miss is that there's actually two definitions the way grace or what grace is and how it operates. All right. And they brought it on the board before I called for it. So let's look at it. Number one is unmerited favor. It means you can't earn this grace. We are saved by grace. Not of ourselves, lest any man can boast. Okay? The other definition of God's grace is that second one, and that's what we're focusing on this evening, is God's ability, say ability, to do something through us. It's your gift. It's your gift. Let me give you an example. I'm gonna show you in the scripture here, but let me give you an example. Okay? Corey can play just about all these instruments up here, right? So Corey's been given a gift of grace to operate in worship. God has graced him to worship. He's got the spiritual gift of worship. So when he comes up here, he's not just having a concert, but he's able to walk us through, regardless what instrument he's playing, he's able to take us into worship. To worship our Heavenly Father. It's a spiritual gift. He has the grace to do that. All right. Now there's some people in here. Nikki, first name that came to my heart. She has a grace for children. For children. There are some people that you hand a baby to. Oh, goodness gracious. And that's the wrong person. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And it's just they start screaming and they're like, get me off this person. Who are you? But there are other people who have a grace, God's unmerited favor, God's ability working through and in their life, that when you hand that baby, no matter, that baby could be screaming bloody murder, right? And you hand it to this person, and that baby instantly just goes, quiets down. And you're like, how do you do that? I don't know. Grace. Grace. See, God's spirit and the gift that He's given to you is His grace, the ability to work inside that gift. For me, it's a discernment of God's word. It's a discernment of God's word to be able to break God's word down. And I'm not trying to brag on myself. I'm just telling you a spiritual gift that God has given me to be able to break God's word down and explain it in such a way that no matter whether you are, let me try to put this in words we can understand, a graduate Christian or you're a elementary school Christian, a baby in Christ, I can break the word down that both parties can walk away with something and go, that was awesome. That was powerful. I got something from that. I learned something from that. That's my grace that He has given to me to be able to do that. And you have a grace, an ability that only God has given to you to work through. You don't have to do it on your own. You don't have to have your own strength, your power. Some of it is physical fitness and working out and be able to just do this kind of stuff. People have a grace to do certain things that others don't have. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, 4 through 11. A lot of scripture, but we're going to go through this quickly. There is, say, one body, one spirit, just so there's one hope that belongs to the calling you received. What? The calling that you received. Verse 5. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father of us all, who is above all, meaning He is sovereign, pervading all, I mean for living in us, all. It goes on. Yet grace, say grace, God's unmerited favor was given to each of us individually, not indiscriminately, but in different ways, in proportion to the measure of Christ. Notice it's not about the proportion of you, your ability, how you use it. God knows we kind of jack things up already. And he even knows that down the road you might even jack something up and not do it right. But isn't it cool what he says here? Not according to our measure, but the measure of Christ. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity of captive. He led a train of vanquished foes. And he bestowed, here it is, underline it. He bestowed gifts on men. Flip it over. But he ascended, now what can this? He ascended mean, but that he had previously descended from the heights of heaven into the depths of the lower parts of the earth. This is where a lot of people believe that Jesus went to hell. This is where people, some people go, Jesus went to hell. They believe it based upon the scripture that he ascended on high, but he also descended and took the keys of death. But that when he rose up and he resurrected, he gave gifts unto men. Verse 10, he who descended is the very same as he who also ascended high above all the heavens, that he, his presence, might fill all things, the whole universe, from the lowest to the highest. Now, is there one more passage on that? I think there is, right? All right, hold it right there. Now, this is why I've got the scripture pulled up. It's very powerful. I always like to give kind of a beginning passage of scripture and the end of the passage of scripture so we can understand the meaning and the definition here. See, Jesus went to hell, okay? He basically conquered it, came back up, led captivity captive. The people that were in prison down there led them free, made them all free, right? And then when he did that, he ascended up to where? To heaven, right? So he sits where now with the Father? Right hand, meaning authority. So he sits at the right hand of the Father, but he has given gifts unto men. Why is this important? Because Jesus is no longer here. And for the ministry to continue on that Jesus had, he ascended, he gave gifts. This is where we get for a healthy church a five-fold ministry. Say five-fold ministry. Why is that important? For us to be a healthy church, Epic Life, we need to operate in our gifts. There are people that are sitting amongst us right now that belong in these gifts, and you are not using it. And because you're not using it, the health of our church is in jeopardy. Listen to me, young or old, teenager or adult, listen to me. This is you, fivefold ministry, healthy churches. And his gifts were varied, he, him, self-appointed, and gave men to us. Some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. That is the five-fold ministry. Apostle. What does a modern-day apostle look like today? Okay, a modern-day apostle, and I know of one, he doesn't understand that he operates in this gift, but they generally are church planters. They generally have large churches. Paul was an apostle. What did Paul do? He went all over the region and planted churches. That's what an apostle does. They're church planters, okay? Now, you can operate in multiple, but there's a stronger one that's your gift. So we have apostles, all right? What do we have next? Prophets, we talked about that. What is the gift of prophecy? Some people may walk into a room and they can instantly speak into your life through the gift of prophecy, all right? It's not some hocus pocus, the world's gonna end. It's to edify the church, all right? Then we've got the evangelist. Why is the evangelist important? They're the one that's spreading the word. Amen. They're going out there reaching. They're the fishers. They're throwing the line out. Some of you have that gift of evangelism. You can't go nowhere and you will talk to a stranger and end up talking about your church or end up talking about Jesus and how good God is to your life. You are operating in the gift of evangelism. It's powerful. You have these gifts. There's no prerequisite other than Jesus is Lord of your life. Right? Okay. So we got evangelist. Some are pastors. Now, here's a crazy thing about the word pastor. This is one of two areas in the Bible where it talks about the word pastor. I know you call me Pastor Mike. That's what I am. But really, I operate as a shepherd. That's the gift. I operate as a shepherd. Or you unpack that word shepherd, it actually means an overseer. My job is an overseer. I'm a shepherd of God's people. You don't belong to me. You belong to him. I'm just a shepherd. All right. And then finally, teachers. There are some of you, man, that you just know how to, you're not a preacher. You know, you don't get out of sweat and spit on everybody in the front row. Okay. But you can bring the word of God in such a way that you're able to teach people how to live the life that you're called to live. Now, All of this is important along with those gifts. Why? Because the Bible says that those five ministries, those five healthy ministries within the church are to do what? Does anybody know? Somebody say it out loud, real loud. Edify. Or another E word, equip. They're to equip. All right, I know you might not have heard this before. You to do the work of the ministry. You to do the work of the ministry. It doesn't say that these people's job is to do the work of the ministry. Read it for yourself. Study it on your own. Their job is to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. That's a gift that's given to you by the Holy Spirit. You can't make it. You can't go to seminary and become a pastor. It's not how it happens. I know some people think that's what happens, but it's not. You become a pastor because it's a gift. It's a grace that God has given to you. And some of you know it already. Some of you know it already that you're gifted. And because maybe you think your life's not good enough or you're not smart enough or God wouldn't call me, but you know deep inside your spirit that God's already called you and you won't answer the call. You're not hurting yourself. You're hurting the church. Every one of you have a gift that God wants to use to grow the body of Christ. And I'm not talking just Epic Life Church. I'm talking about the church. His church, which is much bigger than 646 North Rockwall Avenue. Way bigger than that. All right, we're going to close it up. All right, that's good, that's good. Okay, let me close it out with this. Jake, go over to my last passage here, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 11 and 18. Thank you. Why is it so important that we understand our gifting? Because you have to understand how God works. He's not weird, guys. It's so easy to understand how God works. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 11 through 18. I know I was going to go to Romans, but that's okay. But one and the same Spirit works in all of these things. Talk about the gifts. Distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members. Now he's going to give you an example of how important your gift is to the body of Christ. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are still one body. So also is Christ. So he says, look, you want to know why this is so important? It's because just as in a body, our body, talking about the believers, the church, there are so many people and there's so many parts that are working, but yet they're all still one. One, not 11, one. All right? For by one Spirit, you were all baptized into one body. We didn't get baptized to become Christian of Epic Life Church. One of the things we teach in our baptism class. We don't have ownership rights to baptism. Praise God. All right? It's a Christian thing. We belong to the family of God. For one Spirit, you were baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and have all, say all, been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Now watch this. He's going to bring it home for us. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? So if I got up here one Sunday and just said, you know something, I'm declaring this hand ineligible to be a part of my body anymore. So I'm never going to use it, ever. How stupid is that? Right, like dude's lost his mind, all right? Because the hand is still attached and it's still part of this body. I can't do nothing about it. It is part of my body. Everywhere I go, it's there. Thank you. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not one of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? How many times have we heard this in the body of Christ? Well, I don't have the gift to preach. I'm not supposed to be in ministry then. Are you out of your mind? Just because you're not called to preach from the platform, it doesn't mean you're not called to do something specific in God's ministry. You have your gift. And he's saying, look, just because you're not an ear or you're an eye, but you're an ear, you can't say you're no longer going to be a part of the body. I see that every day in the church. I see that going on right now in our church today. That some of you think you're not gifted because your gift is different. It looks different. than maybe up here or Corey or working in the nursery or something like that. You think, well, I there's no place for my gift. I'm not an eye, so I'm gonna abandon the body. I'm just not gonna be a part of the body. That's wrong. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If everybody in our church at Epic Life, let me go even make it broader than that. If everybody in the church were preachers like me, what would our church look like? A lot of short people running around here, right? Talking long-winded, right? I said it. I ain't, right? Where would the diversity come from? How would there be diversity? We're not. We're all gifted differently. We're not all called to preach. We're not all called to be evangelists. Some of you are called to be givers, and that's what God has blessed you with. That you just have the sensitivity about you that you're able to give into ministry. Maybe financially support Epic Life or a church or a ministry. Maybe that's your gift. You know that's a spiritual gift. It's in the Bible. The gift of giving, the gift of being a giver. Some of you are called to be just, I don't want to say that, Lord forgive me. Some of you are called to serve. You're the people that everybody else is having a great time in worship, man. We're like, woohoo, but you're in the behind the scenes. Nobody ever sees you. But you're making sure the coffee's made in the cafe. You're making sure that the floor got vacuumed. You're making sure that the trash got emptied out. You're making sure, man, that everything's in order and nobody sees you do a thing. Is this gift and that gift any different or less? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We each have our gift, but are you operating in your gift? We rob from the church. We rob from the body when we won't step out in faith and operate in our gift. You're not hurting you. You're hurting the body. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleases. He knew where to put this hand. He knew where to put this arm. He knew where to put my eyes. I don't have an eye on top of my head or on my nose or something like that. My eyes are exactly where they're supposed to be. Why? Because God placed it there for that reason. And he's placed you in this body, not just Epic Life, but the body of Christ. And he knows where he has placed you, and he's placed you with a gift for you to use for the body, not for yourself. See, my hand doesn't do it just because it's a hand. The hand does it because I know that this hand depends. My mouth depends on this hand. My eyes depend on this hand. My head depends on the hand because I got to move stuff out of the way. This hand is very important. But so are my eyes, and so is my breathing and my lungs, and every part of my body is important because it does a function. What is your gift? What is your gift this morning? What has God called you to do that maybe you're kind of holding out? You're holding out on him. You're holding out on the Holy Spirit, and God's speaking to you and says, what is your gift? At Epic Life Church, we want to be able to facilitate that gift. Whether it's serving in our facility cleaning team, or I don't know what we've called it yet, praise God, the cleaning ministry. Or whether it's serving children in our nursery or our children's church or our toddler ministry. Or it's working in the cafe. Some of you love people and you'd be great in our WOW ministry. Or you're greeting in the parking lot, or maybe you're greeting at the front of the door, or maybe you're hosting, you're walking them through the church and you're showing them the cafe and showing them everything that God's doing here. You are needed in the body of Christ. Some of you have a gift to sing and worship and praise him, and your little tail needs to be right here. Up here worshiping. Not to be seen by men, but so that people go, I want to go where that person is. I want to worship. We've missed the mark in thinking that the gift is for you. When it's not, it's for the body. Heavenly Father, forgive us if we've been selfish. Forgive us if we've over-spiritualized the gift that you have given to us. Forgive us for false pride. That pride that says, well, brother, God just hasn't really pulled me in yet to do that. God, forgive us. Shame on us for saying that. When you've gifted every person in this room to impact the kingdom of God and to destroy the works of the devil because of our gift. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord God, for that pride that says, no one's asked me. God has asked you. The Holy Spirit has asked you to step out and do what you're called to do. To be a pastor, to be a shepherd or an evangelist, or to be a worship leader, to work in the nursery, to come on Fridays or Saturdays and help clean the church and pray over these tables and minister. Some of you, God has said you need to minister with these little ones and be impactful. And somebody in here has been called to do teen ministry. And the reason why we don't have a teen ministry is because you're sitting at a table saying, I just don't have time. You base it upon your skill level and not the Holy Spirit's. His level is much bigger than ours. Father, forgive us. Now, I know that some of you need to go, and I respect that. We're going to worship this morning. There's a song that Corey and Misty have been working on that is powerful. And I think in this time, here's the challenge from your pastor. I think it's time that we recommit to the gift and the calling that God has on our lives. I think it is. I think it's time that we say, you know what? We can impact our community, Terrell, if we would. Can you just imagine if we all operated inside our gift? Can you imagine what would happen in this community if we begin to live out our God-given destiny and the gift that God has for us? Or wherever you're from, if you're a guest this morning, maybe somewhere here in Kaufman or Dallas or Garland or wherever, that God has given you something and you refuse because you think it's about you and not about Him and bringing Him the glory. We need to bow down and realize it's not about us, church. Not about us. We serve a mighty God. And if we can't worship a Father and serve Him in a church where everybody's expected to do that, holy cow, how in the world are we going to serve a community that's hurting? How are we going to demonstrate love to people who are unlovable? How? We can't do it here in our own church. So if you need to go this morning, as we begin to worship, would you be quiet as you exit? The rest of us, we're going to worship and maybe just say some things to Daddy. Maybe some of you don't know your spiritual gifting. That's okay. If you don't, maybe it's time that you started asking Him, what have you created me to do? That's some powerful words right there. Why am I created? What is your purpose for me? As we sing this song, we bow low. Strength is found in serving the one that matters, and that's God, not ourselves. So this morning as we worship, let's bow low. I want you to know that Epic Life, you have the freedom to come up here to the altar and bow low and just worship God. If you want to get on your hands and knees here or at your table, no one's going to make fun of you. No one's going to tease you. Let's just worship. And for some of you, maybe it's a time that you need to commit to say, you know what, I've got a gift and I'm not using it. Some of you, you're asking for that gift. You think, Daddy, what is that gift in my life? As we bow low, recognizing that Jesus Christ is King. He is the head of the body. And we're that body. Am I a hand? Am I the eye? Am I an ear? Am I a finger? Am I a toe? Am I a foot? What am I? What is it that you want me to do in the body of Christ? How can I make an impact? Whatever it is, today I bow low. Today I commit myself to you to serve you and to serve your people, to serve your body. I'm going to be doing something this week, church, is probably around Monday or Tuesday. I'm going to send out to everybody in our church a survey. It's a spiritual survey to find your spiritual gifting. It also has a passions deal that'll help with our ministry here in trying to help you to serve. If you want to serve at our church and you want to be a part of it, there are so many opportunities that we have that you can serve right here. I mean, from our parking lot all the way through to our cafe, what makes us Epic Life Church and being able to do the things that we're doing.